matters of the heart. The matters of the heart. And we always have a plan to go through on our Sunday services. And this morning, the theme that we're looking at is overcoming negativity. Overcoming negativity. I think it was amazing when Kev asked me that I would minister this morning and preach on overcoming negativity, because negativity has been a major stronghold that's needed to be broken in my life. It's been a major journey that I've been through and had to overcome the area of negativity. So we're looking at overcoming negativity. One thing that I do want to say right at the beginning about negativity is that negativity is something that's been in the human experience all the way back from the time of the fall. Negativity has been part of every human being's experience. We've all had it. We wrestle with it. We may have it now. We may wrestle with it now. When Satan came into the garden and he accused Eve and Adam in that garden, and he accused them with an accusation, did God really say? He brought a whole negativity into the creation that was perfect at that point of time. He brought a negative. He brought a question. He really subtly changed the picture. He turned it into a negative, literally, so that there was an inverse of the black and the white. They were changed. It was like a negative, like an X-ray, to see the inverse of what was really the case. So when Satan came with his accusation and his question and his temptation to man, it was, did God really say? He brought a whole negative into the Christian experience. And when man sinned, when they fell at that point of time, they entered into that whole realm of negativity. It became part of the human experience. And we see countless references through the scriptures about negativity. We prayed for some people today, and medical science doctors make it really clear that having a positive approach to sickness is absolutely indispensable. Having a positive approach to life is really important. It helps in the whole healing process. So we're going to look at what it is to overcome negativity. But if you've got your Bible, you might like to turn, and we're going to read one classic account of negativity. It's in 2 Samuel chapter 6. It's a story of David. And when David was dancing before the Lord, when the Ark of the Covenant was brought back into Jerusalem. 2 Samuel chapter 6. I want to start reading at verse 14. 2 Samuel 6:14. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. He wasn't doing a half-hearted Pentecostal two-step sort of thing, you know, jig. He was dancing with all his might. He was twirling and leaping and dancing. And as he was doing this, he was wearing a linen ephod. He wasn't down into his underclothes, like some people say. The linen ephod, that you've got to understand, David was king, so he had all of his kingly robes on. And underneath his robes, there was like what was called a linen ephod. It was sort of like an undergarment. I guess it was sort of like a long T-shirt or something like that. It covered his loincloth and that, but he was still stripped down to that. And he did that in order that he could dance with all his might. He didn't want to be tripped up by his kingly robes and all that sort of thing. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. This is positive stuff. They're absolutely having a blast, a ball in the presence of God. This is great victory that's happening here. Then it happened, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, who was David's wife, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place, etc. It goes on. If you go down to verse 20. But when David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servants' maids as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncovers himself." You've got from an absolutely super high experience in the Spirit of God this onslaught of negativity. Where did that come from? Negativity comes out of the heart. That's where it comes from. There was something in Michael's heart that she just, whether it was because of what she'd been through in her family, I don't know, but there was something that was really powerful in her heart. I want to give us a couple of definitions of negativity. Les Brown, who died in about 2002, he was a US band leader, a very famous songwriter. He said, "Don't let the negativity given to you by the world disempower you. Instead, give to yourself that which empowers you." Negativity disempowers. So what is it that empowers? And then Judith Jamison, who's a current US modern dancer, she says this: "So many people dwell on negativity, and I've survived by ignoring it. It dims your light and it hardens each time, and it's harder each time to turn the power up again." Every time we have an onslaught of negativity into our experience, it becomes harder and harder to rise above it. Michael Pritchard, who's an author, he said, "Fear is that little dark room where negatives are developed." And Alfred Montpart, who's also an author, said this: "Avoid destructive thinking. Improper negative thoughts sink people. A ship can sail around the world many, many times, but just let enough water get into the ship and it will sink. Just so with the human mind. Let enough negative thoughts or improper thoughts get into the human mind and the person sinks just like a ship." Negativity. But we've all had these sort of experiences, these sort of thoughts. They sort of, you know, we wrestle with some of this stuff. Winston Churchill said this: "A pessimist sees the difficulty in every situation. An optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty." Way you look at things. You see, some people look at a container and see it's half empty. Other people look at the container and see it's half full. The person who looks at the container and sees it's half empty, soon it's going to be empty, because that's where they're focused. The person who looks at the container being half full are going to give themselves to filling it. It's all perception. It's the way we see things. My experience, and I just really want to share something with you about my experience. My experience, I grew up in a family that was a particularly negative family. Not being critical of my family, because I had a good family upbringing in all the senses. But I can remember that my mum and dad and my grandparents, at times, when I was a little kid, they'd be sitting around playing cribbage at the kitchen table, as people used to do in those days. People don't do it so much today. They used to play cribbage. And they'd end up sort of debating and arguing about something. It may be a movie. It could have been a song. And it would be who the star was. What was that star's name? Or who was the person who sang that song? And it would go on and on and on until eventually somebody would go to the phone and ring up all the radio stations they could find to try to prove they were right. The trying to prove that you're right is a form of incredible negativity. The desire, the drive to prove that you're right is to prove somebody else wrong. It's an incredibly negative thought. I can remember preaching in a church I was pastoring a number of years back, and I preached on that we are forgiven, but we're sinners saved by grace. We are forgiven. We never forget where we've come from. Paul never forgot where he came from. He said, "I'm the chiefest of sinners, not worthy to be called an apostle." And a man came up to me afterwards, and he said, "You preached heresy this morning." I said, "Right." He said, "Yes." He said, "We once were sinners, and now we're saints." "Well, that's true." He said, "But we don't sin anymore." And so I said to him, "Well, so since you've been a Christian, you've never had a negative thought? You've never told a lie?" He said, "Oh, no, but every day..." So he said, "I'm going to prove to you out of the Bible that I'm right." And I said, "I'm not really interested in that." And he said, "Why?" And I said, I would rather lose an argument and win a brother than to win an argument and lose a brother. What's the point in that? The Bible tells us not to wrangle about words. Negativity wrangles. Negativity argues. Negativity asserts its own forcefulness. Negativity has to prove somebody wrong to prove that I am right. And we all wrestle with this. It's an incredible thing. I remember we were in the United States when we were living over there and working with a Holy Ghost repair service and running a halfway house called the House of Magdalene for prostitutes off the streets. And I was heading up the Jesus Night Patrol, working with teams of people from all over Los Angeles, working on the streets of Hollywood from midnight through to the morning. And I can remember that ministry, the whole of that ministry, were invited to go to this church because Gary Greenwald, who was a pastor of a church of about 4,000 or 5,000 people called the Eagle's Nest, was on the board of that ministry. And they had a conference of prophets. Some of you may have heard of Bill Hammond, who's quite a renowned prophet and runs a school of the prophets. And we went, and I went sort of reluctantly because the whole ministry was invited. There's about 4,000 people in this building on this day, all pastors and leaders in the body of Christ. And towards the end of about an hour of ministry, teaching and prophesying over people, they asked us to, all the people in the Holy Ghost repair service, to come up the front. So we went up the front. And we were at the end of the line. Margaret and myself were at the end of the line. The prophets were coming through prophesying. And it was like these guys knew their mail. How could they know this stuff? Somebody must have told them. And they prophesied all the way. And as they're coming down, something came upon me. And it was like the Lord showed me that I knew my call. I knew who I was in God. I knew what His gifts were and all of that sort of thing. But still I had this sense. I was wrestling with stuff within my heart. And I cried out to God under my breath. I said, God, help me to see what I don't want to see. And at that time, they came to Margaret. She's standing next to me. And it's like they just peeled open this whole layer of sort of like, how did they know that? You know, I knew that, how they knew that. But the specifics were what was quite incredible. And then they came to me. Now, you've got to understand that everyone in that meeting that morning had wonderful promises over their lives, every one of them. And they got to me, and I was slain. They just picked all the faults in my life. They went boom, 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 and exposed my life before all these hundreds of pastors and leaders. And I'm up there, and I'm saying, oh, God, you know, under my breath, I'm saying. And not only did they expose it, they got to specifics of it. And not only did they get to specifics of it, they went right back into my trade when I was an apprentice and highlighted what God was doing in my life through this whole thing. I asked the Lord, show me what I don't want to see. Help me to see what I don't want to see. That day, there was an amazing thing happened in my life. The thing that started to happen in my life, that negativity, started to be broken. There was an incredible change that happened. Just simply. And from that point of time, it's like God's done something in my life that whenever something happens, it sort of, it doesn't matter whether it's with who it's with, it doesn't matter the person it's with, whenever something happens, I always refer first to me, what's wrong with me? What aren't I seeing, Lord? Help me to see what I don't want to see. God's the God who gives us incredible things. Definition of negativity. Negativity, these are dictionary definitions. Negativity is characterized by habitual skepticism and a tendency to deny or oppose or resist suggestions or commands. Negativity is the disagreeable quality of one who dissents. Negativity is not hopeful. It tends to consider only the bad side of a situation, lacking positive qualities, especially being disagreeable. This is me, folks. This is who I was. I grew up in a disagreeable family. I found out after I was saved, I had an aunt who did a family tree and found out that even the Christians in my family were all part of non-conformist churches. You know, they were strict Baptists and people that wouldn't conform to the way that most people would think was acceptable as Christians. So they had all these rules and regulations and stuff. That's me. This is me. Negativity is having the light and dark in inverse order to those of the original subject. Negativity. You know, sometimes I used to read the Word of God and I'd read something and I'd say, that applies to so-and-so, you know. Or, you know, I used to be one of those people who'd sit in church and I'd hear a message and I'd think, I wish so-and-so was here to hear that, you know. And so I would be missing what God, because I was seeing the inverse of what the situation was, rather than looking, God, what are you saying to me? What are you doing to me? Breaking down negativity. You see, when we go up the front, and I've been up the front many times for prayer for many things, as I guess most of us have over the years, and somebody would lay hands and you may get slain in the spirit, you may have a supernatural experience and stuff like that, and as wonderful as those experiences are, they never deal with those things that are the habituated parts of our temperament. We can't get a quick fix for negativity. We can't come to God and say, God, you know, I want to be positive. That's a great start. But it's a daily thing. Because negativity is such an ingrown part of the human experience that it's something that we have to give ourselves to. Do you know? My first reaction when people would say something to me that was a fresh idea or something, my first reaction was always no. Then I'd go away and think about it, pray about it, and God would deal with me, and then I'd have to go back and say, oh no, you're right, that's great, you know, whatever. But that was always my first reaction. My first reaction was always no. Negativity. See some great things that God would do somewhere through some man's ministry, and negativity would come. And sort of say, oh yeah, but that, you know, they're doing what they're doing because of this or that or whatever. Or if I didn't feel that I was where somebody else was, or I felt that I should be there, that whole thing is negativity. Do you understand? It's sort of negativity that person shouldn't be there, and I should be there, or this shouldn't be being said, but that should be being said. And never bringing oneself to the place of, God, what are you saying to me? You got me here right now. What are you saying to me? Negativity is a destructive thing. Skepticism was brought in there, and skepticism is the disbelief of any claim of truth that doesn't fit my experience. We become skeptical if someone says something that doesn't fit me, that doesn't fit with my experience. And we become skeptical, negativity, instead of being open. Or skepticism is doubting the truth of something. Just let me give you some, I don't want to go through all of this, but there's so much of it. Do you know, there are absolutely multi-billions of dollars spent in the corporate world, in the business world, on dealing with negativity in the workplace. It's such a huge problem. But it always has been a huge problem. Now, they're trying to deal with that problem by bringing experts in that will try to unravel why people are negative. Do you know that we always, always remember a bad report? We remember a negative report. Why is it that way? Do you see, we hear the reports of how politicians have fallen, how ministers, pastors have fallen. You know, we hear the reports and we bear the reports. We say, did you hear? Are you aware? Sort of like, and so we fall into this area of gossip, but it's like, It's reproducing this negative energy, this negative experience. But the reality of it is, for every person who falls, there are thousands who are morally upright and are true to God and are powering on in God, but we don't ever talk about them. We hear one negative, and that's what we talk about. What is it? With Michael, King David's wife, Saul's daughter, when she despised her husband in her heart, what was the problem? Was the problem David danced in his linen ephod, took off his kingly robes? Was that the problem? That wasn't the problem. The problem was in her heart. She was worried about how it affected her. She wasn't rejoicing that he was rejoicing. She wasn't filled with how he was being filled with the wonderful purposes of God, rather how this was affecting her. The other morning, a couple of us were watching the Today Show. I think, is it 7? Sunrise. And just sort of listening to the news, and all of a sudden at the bottom of the screen, scrolled at the bottom of the screen, was one heading that said, toxic friends. And it got our attention. Toxic, what's toxic friends? Toxic friends. So being intrigued with sort of an inquisitive mind, waited for that section to come up. Did anybody see that section? Did anybody see that? That's amazing. Toxic friends are negative friends. And they had this sociologist and a couple of ladies that were being interviewed. And one of the ladies said that she was there, quite an attractive lady. She had her hair pulled back. She said, I know as soon as I get home from this interview, I've got a friend who's going to call me up and ask me, why did you wear your hair pulled back? That's the first thing she'll ask me. And then she said, the next thing she'll ask me, she'll say, how do you think you went? Negativity. She said, she's a caustic friend. She's a toxic friend, was the term. We've all got toxic friends, haven't we? Are we toxic? That's the question. Are we toxic? Dealing with negativity. Negativity always reflects the inner defeat. Jesus said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And this is a classic. In Mark chapter 2, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven. Now some teachers of law sitting there thinking to themselves, why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Negativity. Couldn't see past the miracle. Couldn't see past what Jesus was doing. All they could see was this negative. You know, we may have a Clark Taylor that comes here and people may be blessed and somebody might feel as though they're pushed. And so the whole thing, the only thing you hear is that this was a pushing thing, not really the power of God. And other people that were there who were receiving from God could have received powerfully and wonderfully. But we tend to then enter into the negative, do you know? That whole thing. You can easily tell the content of a person's heart by listening to the words they speak. And it's important. Let me ask a question. In your day-to-day life, do you listen to what you speak? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of there flow the issues of life. Negativity. Let's look at some of these things. Negativity always justifies itself. All the ways, Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Another version says the Lord weighs the heart. We can generally justify the way we think or act. There are usually good reasons for us to feel hurt and perhaps victimized and all that sort of thing. We can always have reasons why we feel the way we feel. But the question to ask, is the way I feel, is it godly? Ask the question, is there any negativity in God? There's no negativity in God. God is not negative. He's not a negative person. He's not a person who looks at us and sort of says, well, why are they doing that? If only they would do this. He doesn't do that. He doesn't look at you and me and he doesn't walk behind us with a bit of 4x2 ready to belt us behind the ears every time we trip up. He's a loving father. And constantly he's picking us up. Constantly he's saying, come on, son. Come on, daughter. Come on, let's go. Let's run. Let's deal with this. Let's face this. He's always changing us into his image. He's always changing us into who he is in his likeness, in the fullness of him. One person used to really get in my claw when I first met him. I love him to pieces now. Do you know? He's the brother I never had. But when I first met Ken Wellham, Ken Wellham's a super optimist. And here I am, the super pessimist. And when a super pessimist meets a super optimist, Ken never sees the fault or the problem. He always sees the solution. There's always a solution with Ken, you know. And I'd always see the problem. And I would always justify myself looking at that under the thing, well, I have a prophetic motivation. You know, sounds really spiritual, doesn't it? Spiritualizing sin. Spiritualizing and justifying my own position. And sort of saying, well, you know, that's who I am. I've got a prophetic way of looking at things. I've got a prophetic slant. And the prophets are negative. No, they're not. The amazing thing about when you read the prophets, they're not negative at all. They declare the word of God. How positive is that? It may not always tickle people's ears, and it caused many of them to be stoned to death. But they were really welcomed into the eternal kingdom of God, and the Bible said, of such the world's not worthy. It was negativity that stoned them. People who couldn't receive what God was saying and doing. And so they would rise up with this sense of condemnation. Negativity chooses your friends for you. Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. We need to be careful who we spend our time with. Who gives us advice? We really need to be careful about that. You know, I tremble in my boots at some of the advice I gave when I was a critical, negative person, filled with that stuff. You know, I never realized this until I'd been through this experience with these prophets. And I remembered back when not long after I was saved as a 19-year-old young man. And when I was at high school, and they used to have religious education back then. It's not scripture, and it's same as scripture, I guess. And there was a man who used to come. He was a Baptist, and he used to come in a wheelchair. And it was one of those wheelchairs that you push the handles. You know, no motorized wheelchairs. This is really way back. You don't need to know how long back, but way back before there was rubber tires. And he used to push along, and he would go miles. You know, you'd see this man all around the streets of the suburbs of Adelaide where I lived. And he would be pumping along, and all the kids would make fun of him and that sort of stuff. One day, just after I'm saved, he rocks up at our house where I lived. And he came to our back door. And I went out and opened the door, and I was just filled with this sense of incredible, on one hand, condemnation, because of the critical spirit that I'd had towards this man as a young person growing up. And he'd come to witness to my family. And I'd just been saved. And the instant I saw him, the other thing that hit me was to raise him up. Lay hands on him and raise him up. Command him to come out of the chair. Because I'd just sort of read enough in the scriptures by that stage to know they did that. You know, they did that. And this wrestling, and my mum and dad were inside, and I'm the only one saved in my family at that stage. And my mum and dad are inside, and I've got this wrestling going on in me. And it was like I was bursting into sweat and perspiration with this struggle. On the one hand, God's saying, raise him up. On the other hand, this incredible battle with this negativity. What if it doesn't work? And that's where negative people live. What if? What if we don't have the money to pay the bills? What if you get sick? What if I get cancer? What if? What if? What if? Negativity dwells in the what ifs. The kingdom of God dwells in the positive declaration of God. There are no what ifs in God. Did you want to listen? If you don't hear anything else, hear that today. There are no what ifs in God. There's only yea and amen in God. There are no what ifs. Our days are numbered by the Lord. And he delights in our ways. He's for us with prosperity, a future and a hope. There are no what ifs in God. Do we trust God? Are we filled with faith in God? Or do we still live in our negativity? What if? What if? What if we don't have the right clothes? What if we can't afford the makeup? What if we can't drive the right car? What if we can't get that plasma TV like some? What if? What if I go and live in Lifehouse? What if? Life is full of all the insecurities and uncertainties, and God's created it that way so that we wouldn't be people of the negative and the what ifs, but that we would be people of the positive declaration of his word, of who he is, living out of who he is, not the fear of who we are and the inadequacies of who we are. Overcoming negativity. Do you know, we need to ask people, you know, when we hang with people, are their words inspiring? Are they inspiring? Is this person inspiring? I love being with Kev. He's an inspiring man. Don't you love being with Kev? He's an inspiring man. I like hanging with Kev. He's an inspiring man. When we're in Western Australia recently, ministering in a church in Western Australia, and Margaret had taken a Bible study, and there was a lady who was demonized, demon possessed, And, of course, quite a ruckus in the study, and Margaret had to take authority there. And anyway, brought her back to where we were staying with the pastor of that church. Brought her in, and she came in, and I won't go through the story with it, but anyway, I just took authority and commanded that demon to go, and it took quite a thing, and anyway, she was set free, wonderfully set free. The demon was gone. And afterwards, after they'd all gone and things like that, and Rory, the pastor, was sitting there talking to me, he said, "I wish I could do that." Negativity. "I wish I could, if only I could do that." I said, "Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out the devils. Freely you receive, freely give." He said this, he said, "But what if it doesn't work? What if? What if? What if?" Do we understand where we're living? Do we understand what we're saying? Do we understand that when we are in a position by God, that there are no what ifs in God? You see, if we see the container half empty, we are going to hinder and bind the promises of God, and we're going to live in a place of crisis of what ifs. And we're going to see that container getting lower and lower and lower because we've bound God by our negativity. The promises of God are bound by that negativity. The promises of God are released by faith. The promises of God are released by the opposite to negativity. How do we overcome negativity? How do we overcome seeing the problem? How do we overcome living out of ourselves and that critical thing and that negative thing that rises up and we all have to face it sometime or other? How do we do that? Well, we need to see, first of all, that negativity magnifies and distorts truth. That's what negativity does. It magnifies and distorts the truth. And in Proverbs 12:25, anxiety is in the heart of man causes depression. Anxiety. Negativity. You know, through the scriptures we could do a whole study where we're told to cast our anxiety upon him because he cares for us. We're to be carefree. We're set free. You know, we think we've got to carry the problem. We think we're going to get the solution if we worry about it, and if that. But we don't. We get the solution when we're carefree. We get the solution when we give the problem over. We get the solution when we lay it at Jesus' feet. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your kids. It's not flesh and blood. Negativity and anxiety, they work closely together. They part and parcel. An anxious and depressed person cannot see straight. It's impossible. Can't see past it. Can't see past it. Their perspective on life is all blown out of proportion. It happens, doesn't it? It happens. Elijah faced it. Had the great powerful victory over calling down the fire of God on the altar of God and consuming the rocks and everything on that altar. And then this little woman Jezebel started to breathe out threats against him, and Elijah straight out of there, a great man of power and faith, and called down fire from heaven and slew all the prophets of Baal, and she's after him. And he heads off out into the desert and sits under this little terebinth tree out in the desert, and God comes and he said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" He said, "Well, I'm the only one left." And God says, "No, you're not, buddy." Isn't that the way we are? Negativity. Instead of walking out of the victory of God that we face from time to time, we go back into negativity. And we could go on. Negativity makes sweeping statements and harsh judgments, like Michael made about her king. How inglorious was the king of Israel today? So how does it get to us? How does it get to us? So that negativity doesn't go on robbing us. So that we can become people that enter into the great and glorious promises of God. And to enter into the fact that he's the God who's come to prosper us. And to give us a future and a hope. Well, it starts right here. I can say it with everything in my heart. You see, we're told to repent. We think that repentance, which is about face, going in that direction, turn around, change your mind, go in the exact opposite direction. We think that repentance only happens when we get saved. I turn from my way of life and I turn to Jesus and I follow Jesus. But when you follow it through in the scriptures, repentance is a lifestyle for the Christian. Repentance is a lifestyle. So the Christian who overcomes negativity is the person who says all the time before God, when they face any adversity, anything that's contradictory, anything that may rise up something of themselves, learn to say to God, God, show me. Me. I don't want to see somebody else, I want to see me. What is it, Lord, in me? Help me to see me. Give me eyes to see me. Lord, I want to see me. The amazing thing about it is when we get to see Jesus, we really see ourselves. But when we stand on a position of ourselves with our negativity, we don't really see Jesus as he really is. We'll always be striving to get to him, but we won't see him as he really is. And he longs and he calls and he yearns for that intimacy with each one of us. He longs and he yearns. Revelation 3:16, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and come into me, I'll come into him and sup with him. And it's not Jesus standing outside the door of sinners' hearts knocking and pleading to come in, because Jesus doesn't do that, even though we hear evangelists preach that. This is a message to the church. And Jesus is saying, I stand outside the church. I stand outside your life. Open your door. Come in. Come into the closet. Shut the door. Come into intimacy with me. Come back to first love. Come and renew your relationship with me. This is where negativity is hit. Not when we talk about it. Not when we can give a study about it. Not when we can tell other people about it. But when we are consumed with the love of Jesus to go into that closet and to meet with him, let him love us, and we discover his love and discover who he is. And then there's incredible release. A release that goes on and on. Ask the Lord. Make it your heart of hearts, deep desire. Ask the Lord. Show me, Lord. Help me to see what I don't want to see. You do that and he'll show you. He won't show you in a negative way. He'll show you in the positive way. It's a way of change. It's a process. It happens as we walk through it. Let's stand together. We're going to pray as we finish off this morning. We are a church that's not a negative church. We are a positive church. We are a people that are not a negative people. We are a positive people. We are the people of God. How positive can you be? We are the people of the Almighty God, the creator of all the universe, the one who spoke it into being, the one who casts the stars out there, holds them in his hands, the one who upholds everything by the might of his power. He's in you're in his hand. He loves you. You're the apple of his eye. His desire is for you, for a future and a hope. His desire is for you to be filled with positiveness, with faith, because that's who he is. He wants you to be filled with who he is. We're not negative. We're positive. And we need to see in each other that. Talk it to one another. Encourage one another. I thank the Lord for my wife, because I still battle. And there are times in my life when I would have a response and it will be a negative response. And she'll just lovingly come and she'll minister the authority of God to my life and bring correction to my life. And I just thank the Lord for a woman who's strong and powerful enough to bring that correction to me. And she thanks the Lord that she's got a man strong enough to do that with her, that we don't live on eggshells in our relationships. And as a church, we shouldn't. We're a people. We're the people of God and a people of faith and a people of power. Father, as we stand before you, we thank you that there is a solution. There is a solution. We thank you that we are a people who are to overcome negativity. As we look at this, at the issues of the heart over this month, we thank you, Father, that you so wonderfully deal with us. You deal with us with sons. Yes, there are the times you bring the corrections and the disciplines into our lives. But it's because you love us. And we thank you, Lord, that you won't leave us in the frustration of our old habituated temperaments. You won't leave us in our old Adam natures. But you're changing us. Some of us find it easy to be positive. Some people have told us that there are all sorts of psychological profiles that determine our positiveness or our negativeness or whatever it may be. But Lord, we see it in your word that it really is a state of the human heart and condition. Change us, Jesus. And we declare to you today that we at Life Church are a positive people. We're a people who see one another in a positive light. We choose to believe the best of each other. We're a people who affirm and build up and strengthen. We are a people, Lord, who want to be your people. Who aren't judgmental or critical or negative in any aspect with our relationships. But God, that you're the God of incredible release and wonder. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. We bless you. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a great day. Talk positive to each other. Be affirmative. And see the power and the wonder of God breaking the negativity.